In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord, mercifully receive the prayers of your people who call upon you, and grant that they may know and understand what things they ought to do, and also may have grace and power faithfully to accomplish them. We hear a continuation of this story of Abraham and Sarah, now Isaac and Rebekah, and Rebekah and Isaac now giving birth to Esau and Jacob as the generations of these earliest days are recounted to us. Isaac and Rebekah were without child. Rebekah was barren just like Sarah had been. Isaac and Rebekah married when Isaac was about 40 years old, and now another 20 years has gone by, but finally she's pregnant with twins. And she's not pleased because the two are arguing within her, and she's saying, "Oh God, if this is what it's like, I'd rather die." But God speaks to her and says, "Look, two nations are in your womb. They're divided from each other. And contrary to custom, one will be stronger than the other, with the elder serving the younger." That's contrary to custom. So finally, she gives birth to the twins. The first one comes out all red and hairy, so they named him Esau, which is roughly translated hairy. And then the second one comes out, Jacob, and Jacob is grabbing the heel of Esau, usurping his position already. And as one biblical scholar says, they named him Jacob, which means a usurper, or roughly grabby. So we've got hairy and grabby being born to Isaac and Rebekah. And sure enough, they started to grow up, and Esau was his dad's favorite because he was an outdoorsman, he was a hunter, he was a tough guy, lived out there. And Jacob was his mother's favorite. He liked hanging around in the tent. He learned how to cook. He did all those sorts of things. And he and his mom would conspire later over many things. And then Esau comes in from the field one day, and he finds Jacob cooking some stew. And he asks for some. And Jacob, being a bit of a usurper, says, "Okay, you can have some of the stew, but first sell me your birthright. Your birthright. Your blessing from dad. I mean, sell me your position in the family." And Esau, not really thinking about it, says, "You know, what's good a birthright to me? I'm so hungry I'm going to die." He was not going to die. He was just hungry. But he did it. He said, "Oh, I'm so hungry I could die." And so Jacob says, "Swear to me first." So he does. He swears over his birthright to Jacob for a little cup of stew. And he ate the lentils and drank. And in this, they said it was red stuff, so they called them Edom. And so that's the Edomites, the people ultimately come from Esau. So these two great nations do come from them. Jacob later would have a struggle with God and would be named Israel in response to this, and hence the people of Israel, those who struggle with God. Let's hold that story there, because our real heart of our gospel today is this story of the sower and the seed. Familiar to all of us, how the sower went out to sow, and some of the seed fell on the path, and the birds snatched it up. so it was not going to grow. Other seed fell in the rocky soil. It quickly sprouted, but it had no depth of soil, so when the sun comes out, it's scorched and dies. And then finally, other seed falls among thorns, and it can't grow up among the thorns, and it's choked off, and it dies. But some of the seed fell on good soil, bringing forth grain, and bringing an abundant harvest. And so from those few seeds that landed good soil, some bears fruit 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Let anyone with ears listen. It's rare in Scripture that a parable is explained, but this is one of the few cases where there's an explanation right there in the gospel. And so it continues. It says, anyone who hears the word but doesn't understand it is like the seed on the path. It just is snatched away. It never takes root at all. And for those seeds falling on rocky ground, it's like somebody who hears the word and they flourish immediately, but they have no depth. So when any challenge comes to them, it withers and dies, and that person immediately falls away. For those sown among thorns, it's like a person who hears, but the cares of the world, the lure of wealth, whatever, chokes it off, and then it yields nothing. But there are a few sown on good soil, the one who hears the word and understands it, who then bears the fruit of the kingdom. And in one case, 100-fold, in another, 60, and in another, 30. This is where I get in trouble with the gospel. I remember hearing this story as a child, and I remember beginning to get a little anxious over it, wondering whether I was a beaten path, a rocky surface, whether the word had fallen among my thorns, or whether perhaps I was good soil. And I believe any of us, if we're honest about our lives, could not claim entirely one of these scenarios out of this parable. But rather, we find ourselves sometimes the rocky soil, sometimes the beaten path. Sometimes we're choked off by thorns, and maybe some of the time we are good soil. This isn't terribly satisfying to find ourselves in such a mixed place with regard to the gospel. So today, in an effort to preach on all three lessons, we will now turn to the epistle. Because this is where the message comes through that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. We are called into the Spirit of God, which sets us free. Free from needing to be all that we can be. It would be great if we were called into the fullness that God has promised for us and called us into. We just aren't. And so when God comes to us and says there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, that means the part of you that is the beaten path, the rocky ground, the one choked off by thorns, as well as the part of you which has proven to be good soil. And going back to Jacob and Esau, whether you're your mother's favorite or your father's favorite, whether you're the one who is blessed to be the father of the people of Israel, or whether you are the father of the Edomites, In any case, the gospel is coming to you in your faithfulness and in your failure. And this is the gospel I believe we all need. The sower and the seed is still before us. Yes, we are called out of being all of those things which hold back the kingdom of God. We're called into sanctification. We're called into living in the Spirit of God. O Lord, mercifully receive the prayers of your people who call upon you, and grant that we may know and understand the things we ought to do, and also have the grace and power faithfully to accomplish them. May we be the ones who bear fruit 100-fold or 60 or 30. But we know we have been the beaten path, the rocky soil, and choked by thorns. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, and we count upon God to redeem us from all of our brokenness, to call us into the faithful path, call us into the fruitful path. Because if it isn't the case, I don't make it. Amen.